Great to see everybody here today. Amen. Now, last week, I began a two-part sermon called Ordered by the Lord. And I shared with you how that the will and the plan of God for your life was more fluid than you realize. And also how that God gives us a lot more room in this journey and how we plan and live our lives. One of the scriptures we read was Proverbs 16 and 9. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps, right? He lets us plan, but if we invite him in and if we allow him to, he will direct our steps and he will show us the way to live. Now, last week we began unpacking Psalm 37 and 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we talked about what steps were, why it was important to take your next steps, whatever those might be. We talked about what being a good man or a woman was and how it really has less to do with how we act and more to do with who we serve. Amen? And our righteousness comes from the Lord. We talked about what those steps being ordered by the Lord means. Now, by the way, if you missed last week, make sure you go back and watch last week. If you're watching online and you missed last week, I want to encourage you, go back and watch last week first. This message will make more sense to you if you do that. Now, when your steps are ordered by the Lord, oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Where's Debbie Fuller at? Yeah. Mama Fuller is back in the house after 9 months. Now, I'm just going to tell y'all, if you leave for 9 months, I'm probably not going to give you a shout out. But Debbie gets a shout out. We're glad to have you home, Debbie. Amen. See, she got me all distracted. Amen. When your steps are ordered by the Lord, you can have peace, right? Even in times of uncertainty, you can move forward. Even when you're afraid, you can find rest, knowing that you're not walking alone. So, how do we let the Lord order our steps? What happens when we let him order our steps? That's what we're going to dive into today. So let's go back to our text again from last week, the 37th Psalm. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. Now, you know, one of the great things about allowing your steps to be ordered by the Lord is the fact that the Bible says that God delights in guiding you. Amen. He delighteth or delights in your way. The he delights can actually be read both ways. God delights in guiding you, and you delight in walking his way. When your desires align with God's purpose, there really is joy on both sides. Amen? Following God is not a drudgery. It's a delight. Can I just say, if following God is a drudgery in your life, you're not doing it the right way. Amen? Following God is not a drudgery. It's a delight when you really trust the one who is leading you. But this verse is really most accurately interpreted to me. God delights in leading us when we are following him. Because when a believer walks in the way that God orders, God takes pleasure in it. You might even feel uncertain, but God is pleased when you walk in obedience. Your life of faith, your walk in faith brings joy to the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 said, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. Notice this. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Don't you love that? He delights in you with gladness. He calms your fears with his love. He rejoices over you. And like I said, with joyful songs. Amen? God doesn't just tolerate you. He delights in you. Amen? It's like when a parent takes joy in a child, you know, learning to walk, or when they start saying words or phrases for the very first time. My granddaughter, Eliana, is not quite 2 years old, and her new thing now is to go, wow. And then sometimes she'll follow it with this, awesome. I think she's learning that from Miss Rachel. I'm not sure. My four-year-old granddaughter, Ava, just this summer, she took the training wheels off of her bicycle. And she is riding that little thing around, pumping those little legs. And I mean, she got rid of those. She's riding her bike like a pro. But guys, those first wobbly runs up and down the driveway with no training wheels, we cheered and clapped like she had just won the Tour de France. I mean, we did. And we loved it. See, that's how God delights in us. When he sees us walking and living for him, go ahead. I know those are some shaky steps. Keep going, keep going, keep going. That's how God delights in us. Can you just picture him off on the sidelines of your life, clapping, cheering? Amen. Our journey, it really takes on a greater meaning when you realize what it means like for the Lord to delight in you. Even when life feels monotonous, even when it feels routine, God is watching and delighting in our progress, because we are allowing him to guide us. And understanding his guidance, it really is critical to fulfilling his will, and also critical to unlocking the blessings and favor of God on your life. See, God promises that he will guide us and order our steps if we will follow his leading. Look at these few verses. I love these verses. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ear will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen. John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. See, the very fact that Scripture repeatedly promises throughout, really both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the guidance of the Lord in our lives, it really carries the implication with it that you and I need it, right? We need it. And if you don't follow God's guidance, you could miss out on all the great things that he has planned for your life. I told you last week that you can always get back on track if you get distracted. That's good news, right? But think about this, though, too. Why would you want to miss anything along the way? Because of those distractions, right? Why would you? I've seen people, and you have too, people who have wasted years of their life. People who have blown up wonderful relationships. People who have lost great jobs, all because they would not listen to the voice behind them that Isaiah mentioned was whispering, this is the way. Walk in it. Don't waste valuable time and valuable people and valuable resources in your life deviating from the plan that God is laying out for you. So why should I let God order my steps? Why should I submit to his leading? First of all, this: God knows your nature like no one else does. Somebody say, he knows me better than I know myself. Amen. Come on, God knows you better than you know yourself. Your potential, your weaknesses, your strengths. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what you can become. You know another reason why you need to let him lead you and guide you? God knows the future like no one else does. He sees every piece of your puzzle. He sees the grand plan all around you. He understands what the repercussions are if he says yes or if he says no to your prayers and to your desires. Don't get discouraged when things don't go your way. He is in control, amen? Another reason you need to let God lead and order your steps: God also has a purpose for you that is greater than any plan that anyone else has for your life, amen? He wants you to succeed more than anyone else in this world does. He has grander dreams for you than you even have for yourself. We sometimes set our sights so much lower than God does for us. Amen. So, how do I learn to let him order my steps? How do I learn to discern his leading? That's what I want to share with you. I'm going to give you four ways this morning. There are others, but I want to talk about the ones that I think are the most impacting and maybe the most obvious. The first one's going to be very obvious, but it still needs to be said. Are you ready? Follow his word. If you want to learn how to follow the steps and the guidance of the Lord, the first thing you got to do, I know it sounds obvious, follow his word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 133. Direct my footsteps. How? According to your word. Let no sin rule over me. See, the psalmist understood that closely adhering to the word of God would result in freedom and also freedom from the domination of sin in your life. Some of knowing the will of God for your life is very simple. There's a lot of things that you don't have to pray about because God has already revealed it to us in his word. Come on, can I just tell you, I think, I don't know what the percentage is, I'll just make up a number, 70%, 80%, whatever it might be, of knowing the will of God for your life is simply living and obeying the word of God in your life. Hear me, folks, everything in your life is not a great mystery. Everything doesn't have to be travailed over, talked about, worked through. Come on, God's word clearly defines certain things that are not his will for you. God's word also clearly defines some things that are his will for you. Things that a believer should embrace and pursue. Thank God the scripture provides solid, unchangeable, biblical, God-given truth. Amen. See, unsaved people don't always understand. And can I just give you a little bit of advice here? Don't frustrate yourself trying to make unsaved people do what you think they ought to do. Come on. I mean, we know they should be straightened up and flying right and living like you do, right? But you got to understand, but the word of God is the will of God for everybody, but particularly for believers. Amen. Many things that are in the will, that are the will of God for a child of God, they're outlined very clearly for us, and they are, everybody say they are. They are his plan and step for every single believer. For example, obey your parents. If you're a child, a young adult, if you're still living at home, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, obey your parents. If you're going to marry, you ought to marry a Christian. No, not one amen at 9 o'clock. Oh, man, I used to hear this sermon every week as a teenager. Thank God I married me a good one, amen. But hey, 1 Corinthians 7:39, 2 Corinthians 6:15. And since I got such an enthusiastic response to that, let me say this. That also includes your dating life. Because what you dating for anyway, amen? Did you know the scripture tells you, mind your own business and get a job? Man, I wish I would have put it in the notes. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. Some of y'all want to read it right now. It says, mind your business, get a job, live a simple life, and take care of your own self. That's what it says. The Bible tells us it's the will of God for you to provide for your family, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. To give to the Lord's work and to the poor, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Galatians 2 and 10. To raise your children by the standards of God's word, Ephesians 6 and 4. To meditate on the scriptures. That's how they help lead you. Psalm 1 and 2. The Bible tells us where to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. To have a joyful attitude, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. To assemble with others for worship, one of our core values. Gather, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. To proclaim Jesus to other people and to be a witness, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. To have a spirit of gratitude, Philippians 4 and 6. To display love to everybody, 1 Corinthians 10:13. To accept everyone without prejudice. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Folks, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. This is the will of God for your life as a child of God, no matter who you are and where you live. I cannot overstate it. The better you get to know the word of God, the less confusing is the will of God. Several years ago, they don't go to church here, so I'll tell this story. I'm not almost saying that. There was a young couple that came to our church. They started coming. Young girl, probably 20, 21. Her boyfriend was like 21, 22. They wanted to meet with me. They came into my office. They said, Pastor, we just want you to know we love this church. We love the worship. We love the preaching. But we just want to make sure that you know we have no intentions to stop drinking, smoking pot, or having sex? They said, we don't feel convicted and we enjoy it. I said, duh. I said, of course you enjoy it. They said, well, we don't feel convicted about it. I said, well, since you're going to just be so bold about it, I said, it doesn't matter if you feel convicted about it or not. See, we let our feelings get in. You know that old saying, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it? You just need to take out that middle part. If God said it, it doesn't matter what I think about it, that settles it. Amen? So we've got to understand, you can't sometimes just wait for conviction to come to walk in obedience. Let the word of God guide you, lead you, amen. Because your facts, your feelings will sometimes catch up to the facts later on. Anyway, all right, the word of God is our chief source for guides. All right, here's the second way to allow the Lord to order your steps. You ready? Number two, trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And if you want the Lord to order your steps, you got to be led by and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. One time in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, who was obeying the missionary call on his life to spread the gospel. Paul was probably one of the greatest men in the entire New Testament, next to John the Baptist. Jesus said John the Baptist was, so I'm going to go ahead and go with that, right? But the Apostle Paul, he had the Holy Spirit one time stop him and redirect his tracks. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Look at this. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter. I should have worked on these words a little bit. But notice what the rest of verse 7 says. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. That's a pretty easy one. Paul, notice though, don't miss this. Verse 6, Paul was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in Asia. Verse 7 said the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. By the way, don't miss how those two terms, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus, are used interchangeably right there, because there's only one God, amen? But Paul was kept by the Holy Spirit from going. And what was he? He was preaching the gospel. And the Holy Spirit still said, nope. Did you know sometimes good is the enemy of best? And you've got to learn to discern what the will of God is for your life, amen? See, this was Paul, and he was preaching the gospel, and the Spirit still said no. How many times has the Holy Spirit tried to help us? Just like Isaiah said, this is the way. Go in it. And maybe we don't obey. Or I'm going to be more optimistic about it. Maybe we just haven't learned how to recognize that voice when he speaks to us. We don't know how to hear that voice behind you. The Holy Spirit can be your guide and go before you. Folks, man, I'm just telling you, and it's taken me a long time to learn this lesson, and I'm learning it every day. I still got a long ways to go, amen? But if you would just learn to be sensitive, you can tell if he's trying to turn you aside from a direction that you're going. Sometimes, just like in the case of Paul, redirecting your steps is part of the plan of God for your life. By God's providence, sometimes he overrules the events that might be destructive to us and orders events that will help us. Amen. Now, by the way, this doesn't mean that he only orders the good events in our life. Amen. The truth is that we also have to be exposed to a wide range of tests and experiences in our lifetime in order to be prepared for the greater things to come. And a lot of those experiences will be losses, hardships. But hear me, those things, and you know it to be true, those things are also critical for our spiritual and our personal growth, aren't they? There will be times you're going to face problems and setbacks and sickness and pain, disappointments, but you got to trust the goodness of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing, and in the end, everything will work out. What does the scripture say? For the good of those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Trust the guide. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust that still small voice. Stay with the guide, and don't think that just because a difficulty arises that the guide stepped out, that God is no longer there, amen. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I read this last week, but here it is again. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will what? He will make your paths straight. Amen. See, there's a big difference in following the Spirit of God and following your heart. Folks, your heart will fool you. Amen. Your heart will trick you. Jeremiah 17 and 9 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deceitful and wicked. That sounds like a good thing to trust, right? In order to safely know we're following the Spirit, not our heart, you've got to not be walking in the flesh, not be submitting to your sinful nature. We got to sincerely be seeking first the kingdom of God. We got to be willing to obey and submit to God's plan. See, when we're endeavoring to be right with God, we can trust the Spirit to lead us day by day into God's divine purpose for our lives. So number one, you got to follow the word. Secondly, you got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number three, a third way to allow God to order your steps, evaluate your circumstances. Amen. Now notice, I put this one after the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. Because you can't always go by your circumstances. Because your heart and your emotions get tied up in your circumstances. You get all in your feels in your circumstances, right? But hear me though, your circumstances can at times confirm what God is saying or not saying. It's the old open door, closed door idea. Many times prayer and the Holy Spirit will open and close doors in your life, and you need to be able to discern what is happening. Amen. Your circumstances. When you're evaluating your circumstances, you got to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for understanding of why things are happening as they are. Sometimes it's just life being life. Can I just say, I'm not going to go deep into this. Sometimes there's not a spiritual meaning beside it. There's not a hidden agenda. There's not an angle. Sometimes life is just life. Amen? Sometimes it might be the devil manipulating circumstances. Sometimes it's the Lord doing a redirect like he did with the Apostle Paul in Acts 16. You've got to evaluate your circumstances. Can any of the people that are in my generation, or maybe a little bit younger or a little older, y'all remember the Christian singer Dallas Holmes? Anybody remember him? He had a song, I don't even remember what the song was, but there was a real popular line in it, and I never felt completely comfortable with it. And it was a line that said, when God closes a door, look for a window. Y'all remember that line? My thinking was that when God closes a door, you know, maybe there's a window, but maybe God just closed the door, right? I prefer to take the approach of when God closes the door, I'm going to wait and see if he's opening another door. Now, I will also admit there's been times when God closes a door that I walk right to the next door and I start shaking the handle. How many of you testify to that? Man, you about ripped the doorknob off. You're trying to find an open door. Amen. Don't misconstrue, though, a closed door to mean you're supposed to just give up. What am I talking about? Well, I'm unemployed and I applied for a job. And I didn't get it. So apparently it's not God's will for me to have to work 40 hours a week. Despite what the scripture says, amen. So see, how do you get all that out of a job rejection? Evaluate accurately your circumstances. Keep looking for a job. Keep trying to pay your bills. Keep doing what you know to do in your situation. I'm going to give you another good way to make sense of your circumstances. Get good, godly counsel. GGG counsel. Get good, godly counsel. from parents, pastors, Christian friends, or counselors. Look at Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but what? In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Why is it good to seek advice from others? Because often other people can see things objectively when we're only seeing them through the lens of the way we want to see them. That's just human nature, right? I see things either as the victim or the victor, or I see it through my lens. I see it through my upbringing. I see it through the way I want to perceive what's going on in my life. But sometimes you need other people to shine a light from the outside in so you can see what's really going on. Amen. Often other people can see things objectively. Sometimes people can see a silver lining when all you can see is the gloom and doom. Sometimes, aren't you thankful for having some silver lining people in your life? Amen. When you need them, people who can help you see the other side of things. Learn to have faith in the counsel of others. Notice the term, it said a multitude of counselors, right? Good counsel, hear me, this is good advice to you. Good counsel will have a witness with others who are qualified to give good counsel. It's the reason why you go and get more than one opinion when you're facing a serious health crisis in your life. Well, you've got this. Well, you know what? I'm going to go get another opinion because this is too important for me just to take your opinion. See, we understand this process when we're talking about health and when we're talking about the medical field. But what about big things in your life? Sometimes you need a multitude of counselors, and good counsel will be supported by other good counsel. And if you're getting counseling or you're getting counsel or advice, get your counsel from godly spiritual authorities in your life, not from the world. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you right now, and this is just my strong opinion, if you ever need to seek professional counseling, find you a Christian counselor. Amen. It's important. Ask them what their worldview is. It matters. You're interviewing them. Don't feel intimidated by that. You're getting ready to ask somebody to give you advice that could change the course of your life. You ought to know a little bit of something about them. Amen? Ask them some important questions before you just start taking advice from them. You need to get advice from somebody who has a Christian worldview. Someone whose life is shaped by biblical values, not just secular values. Amen? Show me that in the Bible, preacher. Okay. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The way you get the law of the Lord through counsel is through godly counselors. Amen. They don't have to preach a sermon every time they get together. Every time you get together, but they need to have a biblical worldview. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's your Bible. You need to seek the counsel of the godly. Amen. It's not, if not, you got to check and see if you're walking after the Spirit or after the flesh. Proverbs 15:22. Look, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Amen. Number one, follow his word. Number two, trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number three, evaluate your circumstances. The last way I want to mention today that will help you allow the Lord to order your steps is number four, walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. I could preach a whole sermon about this. Nobody likes to hear anybody say obey, submit, get in line, right? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then he expounds on it, how you do it. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I've been talking to you about ordering your steps, following the will of God. It says this right here. Then, after you've done all those things, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, I can spend a lot of time on this point alone, but I'm going to be real quick. Obedience unlocks blessings and favor and direction from God in your life. It does. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. Better than rationalizing your disobedience. Better than justification. Obedience is better. And as you grow as a believer, I want to encourage you, let your obedience to God grow too. Amen. Three things we can do according to this passage to help us allow our steps to be ordered by the Lord. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Submission to God is always the prerequisite. Offering yourself means giving God your best, doing all you know to do, being willing to accept his plan, realizing that something in our walk will require sacrifice. Amen. Musicians, praise team, come on up. Second thing these passages point out to us, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Come on, so much I could say about this one sentence alone. Amen. The Living Bible says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. That's why I believe it's important that if you're going to get a counselor, you get one with a Christian worldview so that they're not giving you principles from the world. Amen. Worldly patterns typically do not help you to walk in obedience to God's word. They don't. Don't go back to worldly, sinful ways or patterns of thinking. Don't live by the world's standards. Live by God's standards. And then the third way in this passage we find is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, I don't know about you. That's a daily thing for me. God, baptize my mind. Baptize my thinking. Only other place in the New Testament that word transform was used was Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Did you know your salvation transforms you, but you've got to constantly refresh and renew your mind. That's how you discern. That's how you evaluate. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. Renew your minds by the word, by prayer, by preaching, listening to preaching, by positive influences. Repentance renews your mind. Worship renews our minds. How many of you will testify that sometimes you come into church and maybe you're dragging a little bit, but after you sing three or four songs, you're like, man, woo! I'm in the presence of the Lord, and my mind renewed. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 reminds us that God is with us, God is for us, and God is holding on to us, even if we fall. Amen? I want you to stand with me all over this house. The steps of the righteous are not aimless. They are ordered. They are delighted in. Amen? So I want to encourage you, walk on in faith, even when the ground beneath you might be trembling, because you're not alone. Amen? His hand is holding yours. 90% of living and knowing God's will, finding his purpose in life, is doing what you already know is right to do. And you know what? God will show you the rest as you take those next steps. Remember the four keys I shared today. Follow his word. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Evaluate your circumstances. Walk in obedience. So now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to apply that in this altar call. I'm going to open up this altar in just a moment. They're going to start singing. And here's what I want to ask you to do. If you need to follow the word of God in an area of your life a little bit better, or maybe in a way that God has been dealing with you, I want to invite you to come to this altar. It's an opportunity to recommit. If you need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, God's been whispering to you, that voice has been talking to you, maybe you've been trying to tune it out, wave it off, come down to the altar and say, God, I hear you. I'm going to let you direct me in order my steps. Maybe you need to come to the Lord and you need to pray for wisdom, and you need to say, God, I've got some circumstances. I don't know if they're pulling me left, right. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's the devil. I don't know if it's my flesh. I need some wisdom. Then you can commit to say, God, show me some wisdom. Show me next steps. Tell me who I need to talk to get some wise counsel, some affirmation. And then the fourth one, and this is probably the easiest one to face, but the hardest one to do, is to say, God, I need to walk in an area of obedience in my life that I know you've been talking to me about. Amen. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's something that you need to do that you're not doing. Maybe there's something you need to stop doing that you are doing. Whatever it is, God, today I take a step and I come to you and I say, God, I'm going to endeavor to walk in obedience in this area of my life. And if I fall, I'm going to get right back up. I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep going until I get there, because I want to walk in obedience. Amen. So As the team begins to sing, I invite you right now to step out from where you are. Let's come to the altar and let's invite God in and allow him to order our steps. Amen. Would you come? Would you come? Amen. Every time. God, I want you to order my steps. Strengthened today, but today, God, as as a body of believers, we corporately recommit to allowing you to lead us and guide us and order our steps, God. I recommit myself, Lord, to the best of my ability to follow your word and obey your word, to embrace your word, to learn your word, to study your word, to love your word. Lord, I invite you to be that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, that sometimes whispers and sometimes shouts. But God, I want you to know that I'm turning on my listening ear. I'm turning on my spiritual hearing aid, God. I want to be able to hear your voice every time you speak. God, I also ask you, God, to give me wisdom when evaluating what's going on in my life, my circumstances, my choices, the happenings all around me. And Lord, when I need to, help me to humble myself and invite in godly counsel. And help me be willing to submit to that counsel and to obey that counsel when it's been established by a multitude of witnesses. And finally, Father, I just ask you, God, and this one's the hard one, just help me to obey you with my mind, with my mouth, with my heart, with my decisions, with my choices. Lord, help me to win that battle, to say yes to you and no to myself. Yes to you and no to the world. Yes to you and no to the devil, God. Because I know that obedience is better than anything else I can do. And obedience keeps me on the path. Order my steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise him one more time together. Can we do that? Woo, hallelujah. I call you Jesus.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.